Hey everybody, thanks for clicking in. For those of you watching at home, I'm so glad that we can worship together. You're at a watch party, maybe you're watching on your phone, maybe you just pulled up the service on every laptop there in Walmart. Thanks for joining us. For those of you in the Maple Knoll Cafe, I love that we're here together. And the same to you, Traditions, thanks for being here this weekend. I am so excited as we continue in our series, I Just Want to Be Happy. Jesus has a radically unexpected pathway to happiness. And before we get there, I just want to show you something. What do you see here? Say it. What is it? It's a heart. Absolutely. It's a heart. And I don't know what you think of when you think of a heart, but things are running through my mind. Just say the first appropriate thing that pops into your head right there where you are. What do you think of when you see this heart? I'm sure some of you, you know, maybe you said girlfriend or boyfriend. I'm sure that there were a bunch of people that just said love or marriage or dating. You know, husbands, if you're married, that doesn't mean you stop dating. You still got to date your wife, take your wife out and show her that she is your one true love. Did anybody say Valentine's Day? Maybe you went on a Valentine's Day date, you know, a special dinner, a special someone, a special Valentine. I did this huge meal with my entire family on Valentine's Day, not just my wife, she is my Valentine, but I took my boys and my wife, this huge, incredibly delicious meal, like almost all of their favorite foods, and there was so much food. I'm telling you, there was so much food at this meal that I provided that we just didn't even eat like 90% of it. And that's what happens when you go to a buffet. I took my family to a buffet on Valentine's Day, and it really spoke to my boys' love language. But the heart, you know, there's a lot of phrases we use when it comes to the heart. I mean, we hear somebody might wear their heart on their sleeve. They're maybe a little bit emotional. Or you say to somebody, hey, my heart goes out to you when they're, you know, feeling sad. Or if somebody's like really like mean, you might say that they're heartless. Or if you're trying to get to the point, the real main point, you say to the heart of the matter, right? When somebody's hurting you, you might say you have a broken heart. That's right. Or if somebody flips their position, you might say they had a change of heart. That's right. Good job. And maybe someone may have given you some advice and they just told you, you know, you just need to follow your heart. I'm not sure that's the best advice, but the word heart, it's all throughout our culture. How about this? Identify this. What is this? That's right. That's also a heart. That's an anatomical heart. That's kind of gross looking. This is a real heart though. And it's not really a symbol of love. I mean, women, would you want to get this from your boyfriend or your husband, with this on the front of a card for Valentine's Day or a love note? I don't think so. We all have a heart though, right? Like you have a heart, I have a heart. The heart, it just pumps. It's this pump in our body to keep us alive, and it pushes blood all through our body. It pushes oxygen everywhere that we need it. And you and I, we just don't survive without a heart, right? I mean, there are so many body parts that you and I can live without, but the heart is not one of them. You know, my seventh grade history teacher, he was riding a lawnmower, and he was mowing on a hill, and he was on the side of the hill, and this heavy, small tractor, it flipped over while he was mowing the lawn, and thank goodness it didn't roll over him. Well, actually, it didn't roll over much of him. It just caught his big toe. And as he's sharing this story with our class as middle schoolers, we were on the edge of our seats. We were like, is he going to show us this toe? One of the kids in our class even asked, did you get to keep the toe? Do you have it in a jar? And he's like, you guys are nuts. But he's okay. This guy's doing well. He's actually a principal today. And we wanted to see if he had any video. He said he didn't have any footage. No pun intended. You can live without a big toe though, right? We can live without a big toe. We can live without an arm. We can live without a foot. We can live without a leg, an ear, an eye. But you and I, we just cannot live without a heart. You know, you can't lose your heart and live. My youth pastor, he invited me to be the youth ministry intern at his church. It was such an honor. It was an incredible summer in between my junior and senior year of college. And I learned so much. Like his investment in me and me doing ministry, it just so clearly confirmed my call into ministry. It was fantastic. And one day in July, about a week before our summer mission trip, I was so excited. I had never been on a mission trip, and here, not only was I gonna go on a mission trip, but I was gonna help lead the mission trip. I'm in the office one day, and Clark, his wife came in, and she was frantic. She said Clark had a heart attack, and I was devastated. I mean, our whole church, we were praying for Clark. We were praying for him as a church. We were praying for him as a youth ministry. Like, we just wanted this guy to do well. We wanted him to get well. We wanted him to come back to us. And the good news is Clark made it. You know, this guy, he's a tank. And 20 years later, like, it has been at least 20 years since I was there back in that church in Ohio doing that internship. And he's still at that church. He's still doing ministry. And I'll tell you this, I love that guy. And as he's there doing 20 years of ministry, he's still crushing it every single year. On that special day in July, I give that guy a phone call or I send him a text message and I wish him happy anniversary. Clark, you made it. Sometimes I even send him a stuffed animal heart, and he probably doesn't appreciate it as much as I do, but he knows that I love him, and that's just one of the ways I show that guy that I love him. Listen, when our hearts aren't functioning the way they were designed to function, things aren't gonna go well. They're definitely not gonna go the way that you want them to. And what's true for our physical heart is also true for us spiritually. In fact, Jesus says that our happiness is connected to how healthy our heart is. Look at this. He says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Remember, this word blessed, it can easily be translated happy or satisfied. Like, if you really truly want to be happy, Jesus says the pathway to happiness has to do with the purity of your heart. It's so incredibly important. Have you ever met somebody with an unhealthy heart? I mean, you know, maybe you're thinking, actually, I have an unhealthy heart, or you know a friend who has an unhealthy heart, and it's just no fun. There are so many things you can't do when you don't have a healthy heart. There's so many foods that you can't eat. You just gotta take care of yourself differently. Your energy levels are just lower. When you have a heart condition, you focus on life differently. You just do. And all of that is true about our physical heart, but Jesus is talking about the core of who we are. When we see Jesus saying, you gotta have a pure heart, he's saying you, at your core, at your center, you have to have purity. You have to be pure in heart. It's what we're centered on. It's what we're focused on. We focus our heart on what matters most, and Jesus says what matters most is the focus on things that are pure. Jesus says, if you really wanna be happy, this is the kind of person that you need to be. A person with a pure heart. And the truth is, we do want to be happy. And what's really interesting is that our hearts chase after happiness all the time. Our hearts are pursuing happiness. And the kind of happiness that we chase is often, you know, kind of happiness that gets us in trouble. Jesus says, happy are the pure in heart. But our hearts aren't always pure. We also know this about our hearts from Matthew chapter 15. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. All of this is an overflow of a heart that's not pure. Our hearts need to be tamed. We have to focus on the right things. You and I, we can't let our hearts lead us. We have to lead our hearts. You know, you've heard people say, hey, the heart wants what the heart wants. And I'm telling you, it's so incredibly true. You know, our hearts so easily want for things. And when our hearts go unchecked, they just drift. You know what they drift to? They drift to evil thoughts. And, you know, our minds think crazy things about how much better we are than others, or how we need other things that we don't have, or how we can fill in the blank. Our hearts, an overflow is murder. Do you realize that Jesus says if you are angry in a sinful way, it's no different than murder? He says adulteries and sexual immoralities come from the heart. Jesus also says if you've lusted after another person, if you've ever looked at another person and you've had a lustful thought, Jesus says it's no different than adulteries and sexual immoralities. You know, out of the heart overflows theft, false testimony, slander, false. This is interesting because some of us might say, well, it's just a little lie. It's just a little white lie, right? Like it doesn't really hurt anybody. You know what? If you tell a lie, you haven't told a lie. You've actually become a liar in that moment. I wonder if any of this sounds familiar, because I'm telling you, as I read this, too much of this is familiar to me. And if we let our hearts drift, our hearts will easily drift in the wrong direction. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says this, guard your heart. You and I, as followers of Jesus, like we have to guard our heart. And this isn't like just a little note. This is not a footnote in something we as Christians, you know, need to pay attention to. Scripture says, guard your heart above all else. Like this needs to be a priority for those of us who follow Jesus because it is the source of life. Our heart is the source of life. It's the core of who we are. Jesus says, if you really want to be happy, your happiness is connected to how healthy your heart is. So we have to do everything we possibly can to guard our hearts. It is mission critical. We drift into what's easiest. Every time we drift to what you and I can control. No one actually drifted into a right relationship with God. It just doesn't happen. When we let our heart drift towards things that are not pure, we don't really notice that we're drifting. That's the essence of drifting. It just kind of happens. And I actually don't think any of us would say we're drifting through life. I mean, maybe some people would say that, but I think that we would all say that we're intentionally chasing after something. We've got something in our sights and we're like, we've got our eyes focused on it and we just want to go after it. We're chasing it. I think we'd all say we're being intentional in that way. You know, we look at stuff that we don't have because it's stuff that we want to have. We think this stuff is gonna make life better, it's gonna make us better, and so it's in those moments that you and I, that we choose like pleasure, or we choose money, or we choose success, because it just looks so good. We all see people who have these things, and then we kind of want these things, and then what's interesting is we see those things, and we think it's gonna make us happy, but they're just things. And when we see that the people who have those things, they aren't happy, like it really surprises us. There's a better way to be happy. Jesus says there's a better way to be happy, and it's connected to how healthy our heart is. You know, if you've been in church all your life, or you've been in church, like if this is your first time, you're clicking in or you're watching at one of our venues for the very first time, I'm sure you've heard this before. From Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I mean, that's a pretty clear measuring stick, right? When you identify the things that you're pursuing, the things that you love, the things that you want, that's where your heart's gonna be. You know, you might just say, how do I know that? How do I measure that? Well, you just say, you know, where do I spend most of my free time? You might say, what does my credit card statement say I care about most? Or you might ask, when I worry, what is it that I'm worrying about? Because whatever those things are, your heart's not too far. Jesus isn't calling his followers to get rid of their treasures. Don't misread this. He's not calling us to get rid of our treasures. He's just saying, have the right treasures. Keep our eyes focused on the right things. Having stuff is not a problem. The problem comes in when your stuff has you. You know, because when your stuff has you, life doesn't go well, our relationships don't go well, our ambition begins to drive us in the wrong direction after the wrong things. And guess what? Your heart chases right after it. You know, stuff can actually be a really good thing. I'm telling you, a lot of times God will give you more stuff, or he might give me more stuff if we're generous with the stuff we already have. You know, having things and being generous with those things is actually an indicator of a pure heart. Being generous with the things that we have actually draws us closer to God. You know, and my hope for you is that you're the kind of person that God trusts so many things with because of how generous you are with what you have. You know, what you do with what you have not only is a reflection of who you are, but it's a reflection of whose you are. You know, Pastor Quentin and I were talking this week about our message, about this message and the I Just Want to Be Happy series. And by the way, I just want to pass on that Pastor Quentin and Ruth are doing so well. Ruth is doing great with her continued recovery, and she's improving mobility following her surgery. They are having a great time getting a lot of exercise and a lot of sun, and we're excited to have them back. We're looking forward to them being here after their sabbatical, and actually just a couple of weeks. But as Pastor Quentin and I were talking about this message, he gave me a quote. He said, "Have you ever heard of this C.S. Lewis quote?" And he said it, and I'm like, that's awesome. I have to share it with everybody. Check this out. This is from C.S. Lewis, and he says this: "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased." Jesus says, if you belong to him, you're gonna look different. If you belong to Jesus, we're gonna act different. We're not gonna act like this world. Followers of Jesus don't act like everybody else. And in fact, if your picture of success is the neighborhood you're living in, the car you drive, the size of your bank account, or the size of your paycheck, your view of success is just way too small. We've got our sights on things that are so small if those are your goals, if that's your heart cry. And if we're not careful, if we're not intentional, if we just drift through life, if you don't guard your heart the way Jesus wants us to guard our heart, we're gonna miss out on God's blessing and his purpose for our life. I mean, we were created on purpose for a purpose, and we don't wanna miss out on it. Jesus shows us how to focus on the right things so that we can protect our hearts and grow our purity in heart. He says this. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light." There's the key. What we let in, what we let grow, like that's the key. In fact, the things that grab our attention will determine our direction. Like it's just how it goes. He goes on to say, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness?" You know, really we're being presented with two choices. There's two ways of seeing, a light way and a dark way. There's, you might say, two visions that you can choose from. Two visions, and you can't have two visions. Two visions is division, it's divided. Either way, whatever our eye is focused on is really what's gonna control us. It directs our ambition, it directs our motives, and we can either let in light or we can let in darkness. Healthy vision leads to a pure heart, and bad vision leads to darkness, which clouds our vision. One of the things that so prominently clouds our vision is comparison. I mean, it has so many of us right now because of social media, and we just compare so many things to what other people have. And I'm telling you this, one surefire way to kill something good is to start comparing it to what other people have. When we start playing the comparison game, it leads to envy, it leads to greed. It just absolutely clouds our vision and our thinking and our desire, and it messes with our heart. Think about it. You have this thing, just whatever that thing is. Imagine something that you just, you know, you have and you like, and you're thankful for it. But then all of a sudden you see somebody else has something just like it, but maybe in your opinion it's a little better, it's a little newer, it's got some more bells and whistles, it's an upgrade. And now the thing that you really liked, the thing that you enjoyed, the thing that you were content with, it now feels a little old, or it feels a little worse. Maybe it doesn't have as many features, and now you're just unsatisfied. When we compare ourselves to others, it leaves us empty and longing for something to fill that void. When you and I, when we compare ourselves to Jesus, we absolutely do not measure up, but Jesus wants to fill us up. It's Jesus who will fill that void. Jesus says there's two ways of seeing, and we can either let in light or we can let in darkness, but we can't have it both ways. It's impossible. The funny thing is, one of the ways is clearly better, but it is so easy to choose the wrong things when our vision is clouded. And Jesus goes on to say this, no one can serve two masters. You just can't do it. Since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one, despise the other, you just can't serve both God and money. No one can serve two masters. And I know things can get a little tense, we can get a little territorial when we talk about money, but I want you to know this. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven and more than he talked about hell combined. Money is a hot topic. Jesus knows how it pulls our heart and the potential of the distraction that money creates in our lives. And at Valley Church, we practice boundless generosity. We want to get to the next level of giving because we want to control our money. We don't want our money to control us. We just can't serve two masters no matter how hard we try. You know, living with a pure heart communicates that you're controlling your money. Not that your money's controlling you. And it's not only about money. Let me tell you this. Part of my treasure is my kids. I love my kids. I love being a dad. I want to be a good dad. And scripture says a lot about parenting. Part of my treasure is with my marriage. I love my wife. I love being married. And scripture says so many things about being a great spouse. Part of my treasure is this. Like I work at Valley Church and I love my job. I love that I get to do ministry the way that I get to do ministry, and having a job is not a bad thing. You and I, we were created for work. Work is a blessing. And all of these things are good, but none of these good things should ever become God substitutes. You and I can do the right thing for the wrong reason. It's so easy. We can turn our kids or our job or our home or our car or our bank account into a substitution for our relationship with God. And when that happens, it changes our heart. If we want to experience true happiness, we have to have a pure heart. We have to be pure in heart. And a pure heart, it just can't follow two masters. Your commitment matters. Jesus says our commitment matters. And Jesus isn't into wishy-washy, drifting, floundering followers. If you're riding the fence, he says stop. If you're trying to follow two masters, one on Sunday and one for the rest of the week, you're going to fail. You will fall. And by the way, if we're trying to serve two masters, if we're living with two visions, if we're living divided, that's called duplicity. And our duplicity is killing us spiritually. Jesus says, if you really want to be happy, there's something better than what the world is offering us. He says, if you really want to be happy, this is the type of person you need to be. He says, happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So when you are not playing the comparison game, when you and I, when we're focused on the right things, your eye, it's a lamp for the body, and the type of light that we let in, like, it feeds our heart. And when we try to satisfy ourselves with materialism, every single time we will be left empty. Maybe not in the moment, but eventually we will just be left empty. So why are you and I, why are we not setting our sights on better things, on higher things? Why are our goals, as C.S. Lewis says, set on so many things that are so much smaller than what God really has for us? One of the scariest things in life is knowing that God can use us whether our hearts are pure or not. The question isn't if God can use you. Like, we don't purify our hearts or make our motives right so that God can use us. We live lives with pure hearts so that we can experience God's blessing. So that we can actually see God in the ministry that's happening all around us. Jesus says where true happiness is found is when we have a pure heart and when our motives are pure and when we're chasing after the right things with the right people. Church, don't miss this, because you are living, breathing proof of this. Like, we've seen God work in some amazing ways in the past 12 months. Some people say 2020 was a wasted year, but this pandemic has not ruined our ministry. We may be moving at a slower pace, but there have been so many opportunities for our church in 2020. And thanks to the vision of Valley Church and thanks to your generosity, here are just a few of the ways that we've been able to encourage others, bless Des Moines. Here's just like a few ways that we were able to set our sights on higher things, on better things, and see God working this year. Check this out.
Hello, Valley Church. Because of you, we have been able to launch Freedom Construction Services, which is now employing 5 young people who are excited about learning the trades and building a career.
Because of your help, we were able to have hope. Have hope in planning for events in 2021. Because of your help, we were able to keep the lights on, to keep our staff working so they can plan for guest groups and events for 2021. Because of your help, we were able to see lives transform for the kingdom.
Each year, the Valley Community Center welcomes thousands of people through its doors. Because of your help, we are now able to transform our gym into a premier worship venue every single weekend, making it the largest and most spacious on our campus.
Hello, Valley Church. Because of your help,
we're planning a marriage seminar for Iranian couples,
as well as a leadership retreat for the Iranian leaders.
Because of your help, you were able to help the Des Moines Dream Center start the process of helping the foster care system here in Polk County through an online platform called Care Portal. We were also able to start the process of building our music studio for young people here in Des Moines, Iowa. And finally, because of your help, we were able to feed almost 23,000 people during this pandemic in the year 2020.
Because of your help, we were able to purchase some interactive technology to bless our hand-in-hand classroom. Our students will be able to use it on the weekends and for respite events. We also were able to spoil our guests for Night to Shine to show God's love to them in a new way.
Because of your help, we were able to build Valley Ice Plaza. We've had hundreds of people come out and enjoy this gift to our community, playing hockey, broom ball, or just skating. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Valley Church, for your generosities as we continue to share hope through the Des Moines Dream Center.
Thank you, Valley Church, and we look forward to seeing you in 2021.
As followers of Jesus, we want our hearts focused on things that are better than what the world tells us we need. Like, it's such a privilege to be able to partner in ministry, to do amazing ministry, to love our city, to take Jesus into this world and bring hope to a world that desperately needs hope. Like, we get to do that. The church exists to bring that hope to a hurting world. And it's amazing that you and I have the privilege of partnering with God in what he's doing right here, right now. And when our motives are good, with our hearts in the right place, focused on the right things, it's amazing that we can see God working. And not just these testimonies that were shared in this video, but we constantly have the privilege of seeing God working. It's because of your generosity that we're able to love our city and take Jesus to people in very tangible ways in our community. I love it. Jesus says, if you really truly want to be happy, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word, for the encouragement we receive from those we're worshiping with, those that we do life with. God, continue to grow us and sharpen us and help our hearts grow pure. Help us keep our focus on you. Help us let the right light in our eyes, all for your glory. Grow us up, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.